I think it's gone.
So we're discussing Cerebon, present to R.
Nancy.
Barry.
Helen.
Sandy.
Claudia.
Richard.
Jane.
Rudy.
Mark.
And Lenore is not here, but you'll hear her chime in.
Lenore!
Again?
Lenore!
This time we're meeting outdoors in on the peninsula in Redwood City.
At our lovely barbecue.
Fourth anniversary.
Is it?
And
our fourth anniversary.
That recurring sound in the background is not waves lapping the shoreline.
It's trucks pounding on the pavement.
Hi, Tommy. Hi, Tammy.
How's Chris? No.
Wait a minute. You said the name of the movie?
Yeah.
Cerebon.
Okay, good. Go for it, Richard.
Yeah, indeed. I rented the full 5 hours of the 6 TV episodes and found that an extremely rewarding experience compared to the movie Cerebon, which was just much less of a terrific thing.
Okay.
Hey, you got everybody on the three.
You see first the
scene from marriage. Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that long.
Scene from a marriage takes place before the
Cerebon takes place 30 years later.
And Cerebon was made to be a film where a scene from a marriage was a TV series.
No, Cerebon was made for TV, wasn't it?
I think
it was 2 hours long.
Yes, but it was
an hour and a half.
TV. And they just released it as a film as well.
But what happened with the other is it was made for TV. It was 6 hours long.
Scene from a marriage?
5 hours.
Yes, 5 hours long. And then it was sort of cut into a movie version.
Of 3 hours. Isn't it about 3 hours long?
It's like 2.5.
2.5.
Yeah.
So you just saw the video of Scene from a Marriage and then Cerebon and then film?
Yeah, we did say it ourselves.
Both of the film group.
Perhaps I would like Sarah better had I not seen it.
Sorry, okay.
And maybe not.
I still don't get it.
What don't you get?
You can also get now the DVD for the scenes from America.
Okay.
And then went to the movie.
I think because we enjoyed it so much, the scenes from a marriage. And we were thinking, gee, what could this be about? And really, from my view, my expectations were high. In terms of, wow, that was such an excellent series, so what happens next?
Yeah. Too bad, because it sounded so interesting.
Richard and Claudia saw it. You saw it, Sandy?
I saw Scenes from a Marriage a long time ago.
Right.
Cerebon, yes, I saw Cerebon.
Okay, so what are your comments?
I thought Cerebon was very thin.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also disappointed. I thought she was so weak and so, and maybe he intended it to be about women.
The character?
Yeah. Maybe Bergman intended the film to be about women's weakness and in always supporting men and these really demanding men.
Both the Lee Olman character and the daughter.
And the daughter, right.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
No, he just made
it. I want to know who saw it.
You saw it.
You and I are the ones who did.
Okay. And so you didn't see it.
I didn't see it.
Okay. So everybody from there over.
Correct me if I'm wrong, for those of you who've seen Scenes from a Marriage, that's more about a dynamic between two individuals.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Whereas this is, those two individuals are kind of peripheral to this story. I mean, it's the story of him, mostly, but not the story of
her.
Yeah. And also the story of the daughter, and also the son, and the father.
Yeah, Liv sort of played a supporting role, in effect, in this film. Supporting, in a major way, but supporting the other stories.
in Scenes from a Marriage?
No, Living Woman.
Okay, because she came, she's sort of the catalyst, or she came along after 30 years. But I didn't see her as that weak. I thought she, you know, she was beginning. You know, she wanted to look at this, see this guy she hadn't seen for so many years. Personally, Bergman is not one of my favorite filmmakers, and I think he's gone downhill. I think it's not. I think if you look at some of his earlier stuff, it's so much more interesting. There's so much more going on. But I went to see Autumn Sonata last summer, which is why Paul wouldn't go. And I said, Bergman, no, you can't go there. And there were some similarities there too, with someone coming from a big distance. In that case, it was Ingrid Bergman coming from a big distance to see a family, and
not
she
Ingrid
was
Bergman.
Yes,
yeah,
yes. She was.
So. She
was
the mother.
She's still alive.
And she was. And Swedish. She was speaking Swedish in the movie. It was. She was the best thing about it. Yeah.
Well, it was a long time ago.
What? 1980
or something. Yeah. It's an old film.
About a
That's
mother
right.
and daughter with a, who have a very strained, difficult relationship.
But in that case, also she had a mentally ill daughter. There was something really seriously wrong with the daughter. So there was that. That dynamic too. But I think, you know, he's more recently he's been directing theater, and I think this is really the stuff of theater rather than filmmaking so much.
Mm.
And there's a real intelligence there, I think, but to me, it belongs in theater more.
That's really, I think, an insightful comment, yeah. I would prefer to see this on the stage.
Yeah. It'd have to be in English, though.
Super title.
Yeah, it was really close in.
I felt it was a theatrical piece of this film.
And that's what he's been doing for the past, I don't know, 15, 20 years. He has.
Couldn't you say that about Prince Charming?
Well, that I can't remember. I saw it when it first came out.
It could be on the stage pretty readily.
I don't know who would be able to sit still for 5 hours. But
Scenes from a Marriage was made at a time when making a film for television meant that you used close-ups and that they weren't being used in film that was made for the big screen. So I remember at the time it was really amazing to see it on a big screen because there were so many close-ups. And then I don't know whether it was because of Scenes from a Marriage, but there was a point in film production when they started using more close-ups, probably around the same time that films started being shown on television.
Yeah, and that was criticized, the use of close-ups on the big screen was criticized as being, you know, don't do this on the big screen, that's TV.
Exactly, right, mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. And now we get close-ups all the time.
Yeah, well, part of the whole vocabulary of film. I mean.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it always has been since Griffith, but if you think about Lawrence of Arabia, you know, you don't think of the famous close-ups, you think of the famous long shots.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Sarabande was kind of closed in, so it was more television than... I mean, I think that's an interesting point about theater, that it's theatrical, but it also is TV.
Yeah, but, and yet I remember last year when I saw Autumn Sonata, we went to Berkeley to see it, and we ran into a friend's character who was studying, he was seriously studying film at Berkeley, and he was like, this camera is so static, and I thought, it's true, it really is true, yet there's such an intelligence there that, you know that what is there is so, there's a lot. Okay, it's all plot, and stuff of television, and stuff of theater, but at least it's intelligent stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it really kind of, I don't know, what kind of story. Yeah, but it didn't seem like it was. I don't know, it just seemed
depends
really
on what
dull.
You're used to. Depends on what you're used to.
I don't know. I think what Lenore is saying, I mean, is really true. There's a reason for it.
I mean, how could it not be a reason with an experienced director who's directed all these
Because
movies?
that's his vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Well,
static camera.
But he has.
But that's still a choice. I mean, it's not like he doesn't see other people's films.
I don't know. Does he see other people's films?
But do you think he used a lot of static camera in his early films?
Well, I'm trying to think of Seventh Seal.
Seventh Seal does it.
Daniel Alexander, I don't
remember
that.
Oh, maybe this is the
right.
Or, no, and I don't think that the Twilight Strawberries, you know, I don't think that. And that's my objection to Mike Lee also, you know, from the goddamn camera. Which is not entirely true. But, yeah, but, you know, yet, except to Dario, my friend's kid, but he was such an intelligence there. And so, as I said, he's not my favorite.
And what's Dario's response?
I don't remember.
No special effects, damn it.
So, no, no, he's not like that.
What
he's
was good about like his movie?
No.
There were, I mean, it wasn't like the worst film in the world, but what was of value?
I thought it was the story and the interaction between the son and the father was rich and something I hadn't seen before. Or in portrayed in that way, both sides, and the good and the bad from both sides, and so I appreciated that. I thought that was the richest thing about the film, the interaction between those two, and also to see that from the outside, like from the Roland's perspective, and also to see from the daughter's perspective, and to. You know, they knew the interplay there, and they knew what was going on there, and they knew what each little piece in the puzzle, like the violin thing, and the son knew what it meant to ask the father for the money and for the violin. The father knew what it meant. And the father knew what it meant for the son to ask that, and the daughter knew what it meant for the father for her father to ask the grandfather, and there was a whole big thing around that violin and what it meant to all.
Or cello.
The cello.
Some string instrument.
For the party. And that was an interesting play around, you know, this family dynamic there that I hadn't really seen portrayed in a film. And I mean, it happens all the time. So I thought that was good, and also the thing about the film school and which way was she going to audition for the conservatory, or is she going to the Helsinki Academy, or is she going to do this kind of low budget kind of thing to.
And what did she do in the end?
She chose neither of those.
She found her own thing.
She wanted
to play in an orchestra, so she was going to a program that would train her to be a member of an orchestra because she knew or felt she knew that she wouldn't ever be good enough to be an outstanding soloist.
She didn't want to be.
She wanted to play. I can understand this very well. She wanted to play music with other people, you know, in a group. And I thought definitely there was a change in her character.
Yeah.
She learned to stand up to her grandfather and to her father in a different way, as he was
now,
a tyrant in his own way.
Did you understand what the relationship between the daughter and the father was?
Well, that was curious.
Yeah. Well, did they slept
really
in the
curious.
Same bed? Is that
yeah.
Right?
Well, was it a sexual relationship?
I thought so.
Well, there was one point at the end
daughter,
there.
The daughter and the
And I think the mother knew. The mother knew before she died. I think that's what the letter was about. It was,
what?
She didn't come out. The mother, she found a letter from her mother.
Right.
And I think the implication of that letter was that the mother knew. Or that the mother knew it could happen. She said, it was not explicit, but I think it was there that the mother knew that this could happen, and she was warning against it.
So for those of us who didn't see it, what was happening? The daughter was sleeping.
And what was the mother sleeping?
She was sleeping in the same bed.
The mother was dead.
Luckily, she was not in the bed.
Two years dead.
That's not long.
I thought the daughter started sleeping with the father after the mother died.
No, wait.
That's another story.
They were staying in a little lake cottage, probably a one-room affair. So there might have only been one bed.
That was not.
There was
permanent
one.
House.
Had no money.
There was
they,
one. There was one scene room. Where they were sharing a bed, the daughter and the father. And at first, I thought,
is there a sexual thing here?
But then I thought, no, it's a small cabin. They're European. They're cool.
Oh, come on,
father and daughter sleeping in the same bed.
I know.
You know,
it was. I think it was ambiguous. and it was probably deliberately that's ambiguous.
Yes,
or was
but
it
I
cultural?
Don't think, but I no, I think it was ambiguous, but it wasn't. I think it was you tipped to the idea that it was sexual because of the kiss, but also the letter. I really think the mother.
But how could you not bring that into the story?
Yeah,
well,
dynamic,
he did.
That relationship.
He did.
They touch all that was that relationship was touched on by either character. Was just that one scene where he attempted to French kiss her.
No, and the letter. And the letter. And the, what she was and what she was telling her.
Yeah,
and even sleeping in the same bed.
But,
I'm sorry.
But her reaction to that afterward is like it never happened. His reaction to it, like it never happened.
Well,
you could have that denial. You could have that denial, but to have the story not deal with that and that dynamic.
But I really did with that letter.
Right.
I really did.
That's what bothered me also, that the story didn't. That the story didn't deal with it.
Well, it sounds from what Ellen is saying that the story made some effort, but apparently it wasn't effective because too many of the people are not
picking up on that
the way you did.
I really thought.
I think that letter was an important piece of the story.
But she, and
no
she
doubt.
Said, the mother said in that letter, like, don't. She warned against.
Well, she warned against everything that did
transpire.
That love
that's been my place, and the daughter, the idea was there that the daughter can't take the place of the mother and this kind of love. I think
it's a bit of I wouldn't call it a red herring, but I think whether or not if there wasn't any sexual relationship between the mommy and daughter, the main dynamic is still the same, that he's filled up his life with her, and his purpose in life was her, and she has to break away from that. Mm. If there's sex, it makes it that much harder, but if there hasn't been explicit sexual behavior, it's still the main thing is still there.
If it were sexual, then the thing that's missing for me is the daughter's reaction.
Mm.
Then that would have explained it, but she didn't.
There is a reaction.
There is.
She leaves.
Well, but
she
that
finally
wasn't,
leaves.
Yeah,
she
but she could have left. She needed to leave whether there was sex or not.
She said she was going to leave before it happened, though. She told him she's leaving to do this.
And I do think it was harder for her to leave because of the sex. That, you know, she felt she had to take care of him, and she felt worse about it.
No, I wouldn't say that if there were sex that it would be harder for her to leave. Because that's what I mean, if there wasn't a reaction. Was she enjoying it, or was she repulsed by it, or what was her reaction? I never knew, but
well, all of the above.
That's true. You don't know what she thinks about it, except that she does want to take care of her father.
Right, but that was central to that was central to the characterization of him. His father was disgusted by him because he was so needy, and everybody had to take care of him, and to put that on the daughter was a horrible family dynamic.
Was horrible. You know, it was.
It just sounds really Scandinavian to me.
Yeah, well, it was.
Norwegian more. You know, for a thin film that has not much substance, there's a lot of intensity.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of intensity, no matter what happens.
Did you think
because
about
there
that?
You don't need all the answers, and I don't think the sex was happening at all.
Oh, you
but
didn't.
I think she sensed
the potential.
The potential. Yeah. And I think the father was trying to have the girl fill his life again, as it was, but that was out of the question. But I don't think anything. I don't think anything like that happened anywhere near, except that the girl recognized that there was.
But see, I don't buy this thing about they only had one bed.
No,
that's like a farmer's daughter.
I see why not. Those cabins
rent
are small.
Cottages.
So you get another mattress.
Get a couch.
I don't buy that either.
I don't think that's big. The thing about the
child
isn't important at all.
I do.
I think it was a natural thing.
I didn't. I mean,
no.
I have to say, I didn't necessarily think that they had sex. I mean, I just didn't. But I think that you could take it lots of ways.
Well, I will say that that first time that scene opens where you see the two of them in bed, I really jumped.
Yeah.
Oh, what's going on?
The whole
here?
Audience did.
But no. I didn't hear it in the letter. It's interesting. I don't know if they're not, you know, I just suddenly decided to go into denial or something. But I didn't hear that in the mother's warning. I thought I just took it as she's warning. She knows how much he's going to need that daughter,
right?
And how much he's going to want to keep her close. And that's creeped me out. You know, that's why I say never mind the sex. That's creepy enough.
It's covert insult, even if it's not.
There's another thing, interesting thing about the scene of them two in the bed is that after that first shock, he tells her this very interesting story about why he reacted violently when she left him earlier in the morning, about his wife threatening to leave at one point. And they're lying in bed, and he's telling this story, and she's not looking at him, she's looking away and looking at the picture of her mother. I thought that was really interesting storytelling, cinematic storytelling thing. To have it happen, for them to be him to be saying that as they're sharing the bed, I thought that dynamic was very interesting.
Yeah.
And it was an interesting story, a little soliloquy about his relationship with his wife, and it opened your eyes to what their relationship was and how deep that relationship was. And it was interesting that it was related in their bed, the daughter sharing
dead wife
with him.
And because that was something that I think I sort of spaced out on, because I didn't. What was the thing?
This was after the daughter ran away after she had a tantrum about practicing, and he got violent with her as she was leaving the door, and he felt sorry about that.
Right.
And so that night he asked if she was awake, and then he went into the story about how years before they were married, they had a fight or something, and the wife said, "And this is the man I'm supposed to marry." And his reaction, he tells about his reactions to her wife, his future wife, saying that, and really worried that she's really going to leave him, and how that she never actually left the house, and she went back in the kitchen and kind of just didn't leave him.
And he was so afraid that she would.
Yeah, and how relieved he was that she didn't leave. And then they had this rich relationship.
But there's a parallel there to the, you know, the fear that the daughter's going to leave.
Right,
too.
Right. And that's what he was explaining. Why he reacted so violently, because at one time a very similar thing happened between him and his wife before they were married. But I thought it was interesting that story, very rich and human story, was told in that bed.
But also this is the parallel between being afraid the wife is going to leave and afraid the daughter is going to leave. It's two different. It's natural for your daughter to leave.
Mm-hmm.
That was just
what I found weak about the daughter character in the beginning. She didn't seem 21 years old. She didn't seem like 14 in the way that she was reacting to everything that was happening around her.
My father wants to give me lessons.
She didn't seem like somebody who lived on this planet for 21 years. Mm-hmm. She just didn't seem mature enough for a 21-year-old. And gradually she matures through the movie, but the character just didn't seem real for that reason.
Well, but if she'd been really, almost smothered by the father who hadn't let her get very far away, that would be.
Yeah, but she had a life before her mother died. She was 18 years old before her mother died.
And she has a friend that she goes to the school with.
But you only sort of find out at the end, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see from the point of a storytelling that here's this character goes through this arc of maturing and coming in, standing up for herself, but I didn't see her starting point that young, so immature,
And what's the time span in the film?
The time span is a couple of weeks.
Months. Another thing that I found sort of not believable about the daughter was when she first meets Lee Ullman. She just spills her guts. I didn't have the impression they ever knew each other. And she comes, and okay, she wants a mother figure, but she just tells everything.
I agree with you, but then that woman had been in that family's life for
Forever.
But
forever.
She
never met, I think.
Right.
The same thing happened. She had not been involved in that family.
But she knew who she was.
She knew the existence of it.
Did ex-husband and ex-wife have sex? Did they just sleep together?
When he walks in naked to the bedroom and she gets the old man frontal male nudity.
And if you like your 85-year-old
frontal male nudity,
he was all out there.
And Liv Ullmann wasn't.
And then Liv Ullmann just showed the man.
Just for that. A choice. Whether it was Bergman's choice or Liv Ullmann's.
I like films that are thin and intense. I mean, the way you said it is true. It's thin, it's like...
Hey, how are we doing?
Like, not much there, but there's...
A lot of subtext.
And so
it's deeper than what you see always. I like that.
Is there anything else slow and painful,
as you said earlier?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that. I was just gonna say I was surprised in this movie that they didn't do more with their relationship with Ullmann.
And Erlon.
So. I just thought that was interesting because it was predicated on that particular relationship.
What was their relationship like in Scenes from a Marriage?
Well, they went through everything.
I think they loved each other, and then he basically blew her off. And then even when she came back in Fairbairn, he was like, yeah, that was a bad time of my life. I thought he was pretty sour.
Oh, yeah.
Very sour.
And what a horrible person.
She would just keep being there, even though he was so...
She was there a long time.
Yes.
She was playing and being there, a few days? It seemed like the visit was a short visit. Yeah. But she was there for everything.
It's like she was a rug.
Right. That she couldn't resist the urge to nurture. Yeah, taking care of him. Even
maybe she also wanted to help their daughter,
get out.
The young girl. Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't explicit or anything.
But she had a life of her own. Wasn't she a journalist or something?
Musician.
She was a lawyer.
The reason why she's there is
she's telling the story. You know, she opens the photographs and she answers the photograph. And in her relationship, I mean, the daughter tells her everything about what the daughter's feeling as soon as she meets her, and so does the son in the church. And so she's kind of like the Greek chorus, so that everything can be revealed about the relationship between these other individuals through her and through her eyes, and also through her comments. So I think that's the purpose that she serves, and maybe why there wasn't going to be, or what you felt should be going on, the interaction between those two, that maybe we've done that in a previous film. We don't need to go there.
I felt reasonable enough for a woman getting older to want to sort of look back and see the ex-husband and reflect. So I think she had something better to do.
Was
she still practicing? She was winding down in practice, didn't she say that?
I thought she wanted to see if there was, I thought she wanted him to love her,
to admit that he loved her.
He never did. He didn't love anybody, apparently.
Right.
He was a miserable
Did he love
person.
His granddaughter? I don't think
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
In his own miserable way.
He was manipulating her too. He wasn't loving her. He was manipulating.
Well, yeah, he was going to buy her the shower if he did what he wanted.
So.
This sounds like my family. I'm Norgard for nothing. Her family. Oh, it sounds like
they were your neighbors. Your family's neighbors.
That's like those sounds Scandinavian.
So not bad for it.
Not bad for Thin Film, right? A long time.
All right, I take it back.
You said thin? I thought you said thin.
I said thin.
Oh, you said thin.
But I agree.
So did I.
It just felt more disappointing. I don't know. And
pardon?
It was, this conversation was much more interesting
than the film.
And we sometimes find that. I felt that the film was disappointing. It just sort of lingered off. And it just seemed disappointing.
Maybe that's intemporal proximity.
If you're comparing the two, then
they might not.
But
we're, we haven't mentioned this one scene that I found the most moving, or among the most. Well, I must admit that there were several points in the film where I felt a definite emotional reaction, mostly to the how awful the father was.
Yes.
But that, see, what do you make of the scene where, and it's the last thing that happens in the movie, where she goes to see her daughter who's mentally ill. And she says, this is really important now that I think of it. The last thing she says is, I felt for the first time that she touched her.
Yeah. She connected with her daughter.
That she really connected with her daughter. And you see the
freezing Scandinavian.
The image of the daughter's. She takes the glasses off the daughter's face, and the daughter sort of springs awake almost, and for a moment looks directly in the mother's eyes, and then slowly closes her eyes. I found that very intense, and I don't know what to make of it exactly, but obviously that's sort of some culmination for her, I think, of her experience.
Maybe she
with that family
learned about herself that she hadn't tried hard enough with her own daughter.
Well, it just seems the communication compared to different cultures, but the communication there was so.
Do you want to hear about what it was
so
like?
Here,
let me just give one little testimonial. My father's mother died when he was 10 years old. His older sister was 16 and raised the younger kids. Okay? I asked my aunt about this. She told me that when their mother died, grief was not permitted in the house. No one talked about it. She went out on the farm by herself out in the fields and cried.
Is this in the States already or Norway?
Yeah. So that's just, I think that's why I said it's very Scandinavian and very
familiar. Oh, very. And, because one of the remarks that we had, I came from a very different background. Very much more, emotional. And so, to me, it was definitely showing a different type of culture. And just how they interact and how they're not able to communicate. And it's in a productive way that would have helped their relationship.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Just another little story. So then there was this kind of this matriarch, the great aunt or whatever, who was kind of the eldest in the family. They have these family reunions every year. And so my dad's youngest sister married a southerner, and he came to the family reunion. And so he was brought to be introduced to the matriarch, and she put out her hand to shake hands with him. And he said, oh no, I'm from the South, we hood. But she said that.
Did she survive?
She did, and my aunt said that it shifted the family dynamic. The people started getting more physical.
I said, we hood.
So, are you going to see it?
I tried to see it, but it was gone here. But it might still be important.
Oh, yeah, I'll see it. I have to see it, yeah.
But it's not here anymore.
I know, I'll wait for it to come.
It might still be on the screen important. Not going to need.
Well, it'll come back somewhere else.
It's in New York.
It's not San Francisco.
I think it will eventually come up to Belfast.
Is it in Malmö?
No.